Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We shall not be moved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Father, we come today yielding to you, Father. Father, your word says that we have blessed eyes, blessed ears, to be able to hear and see the word of God and receive it, Father. So, Father, I believe you're going to feed us today. All those who are hungry and thirsty for the things of God, you will leave fed today. You will leave taken of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus is about to change us through the Spirit of God and about to feed us in the things that you came hungry for, the things you came thirsty for. So, Father, we yield to you today, believing that you're changing us from the glory to glory in the image of Christ Jesus, Father. Father, I'm excited about what you're doing in this church. I'm excited about the move of 2014, Father. We are a church expecting, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much, praise and worship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, if you've been hanging out with us, you know that there's a sermon that we've been running, A Miracle in Your Mouth, now for about 7-8 services probably. And this morning I'll probably conclude that. Hallelujah. I do want to say this before I get started in the service, that there, if Pastor Scott and Joanne don't mind, hallelujah. Their house caught on fire yesterday afternoon. And the church is standing with them and standing by them. If you feel led by the Holy Spirit to do something for them as a family, glory to God, get in contact with either Wendy or Scott or Joanne and see how that the church can bless them, right? Mainly the upper stairs of it was destroyed, glory to God, and furniture was lost and some other things. They have insurance and they're going to be taken care of eventually, but the church needs to step into the gap before the insurance company shows up. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Lord. Well, if you would turn to Mark chapter 5 as we get started this morning. We've talked about, you know, the spirit of faith. We have in the same spirit of faith where the scripture was written, so therefore we speak it. We've talked about Jesus' words and how they were all astonished by Jesus' words and how powerful they were and the signs and wonders that followed Jesus' words. And now we're going to talk about individuals in the church, Christ Jesus' church, through the scriptures that spoke and said things by the guidance of Christ Jesus, and his words were all in them. Glory to God. So if you look at Mark chapter 5, glory to God, I want you to look at verse 23 to start with. And it says, and besought him greatly, saying, and if you look at it, it's Jairus from verse 22, who was a leader of the synagogue, and he comes and his daughter is sick to the point of almost death. So he says, I besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at a point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she might be healed, and she shall live. Now, the amazing part about this is, his words, he saw Jesus. So now, there's two scenarios I want us to look at. One is, he sees Jesus and recognizes him. How did he do that? He'd seen him before, been around him, recognized him by his appearance, or recognized him by his words, or recognized him by who was traveling with him. But he saw him and went to him. In other words, there's an essence of, you're going to have to go after Jesus. You're going to have to get to the point where you're seeking him, right? Watch what else. Look at verse 27. I'm going to build a case, so y'all hang in here with me. Hallelujah. Verse 27, and she had heard of Jesus. So now, he's on the way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter. In the process of on his way to go there, a lady steps in with faith between the two and slows the process down. But she's heard of Jesus. Pastor, what are you saying? All of us in this room have heard of Jesus. Really? Because he says, with what measure you hear, it will be measured back unto you. Is it a glancing conversation that you know of Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he died for you, or have you heard him? Have you heard him teach or preach to you? Well, Pastor, I've heard men of God do it. If I read the scriptures to you, it's as good as Jesus preached it. because it's His words recorded for all mankind. I have the spirit of faith where I believe if I read the Word of God, it's as good as if Jesus said it to me personally. So she says in the conversation, she said, I heard of Jesus. Now, what she heard motivated her so much to an action. And the first action she gets is she said. Then what she says motivates her to the action. Because her conversation or her word says, if I can just get to the hem of His garment and touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. Well, now there's an action to it. A lot of Christians, I believe, sometimes they believe Christ, they've heard of Christ, but they don't have the words or the actions to line up to show that they have faith in Christ Jesus. Sometimes you've got to press into and get to where Jesus is at, or press into or through things that are obstructing you from believing and having faith in Christ Jesus. There were many obstacles she had. Don't lose the initial story. There's a man who's trying to get his daughter healed, and now he's being detained or slowed down in the process of this because there's a great crowd. The woman decides to press in. She's been bleeding for years. Nobody can help her. She's gonna spend all her money, and now either weak, frail, in a man's society, surrounded by a bunch of men, she's got to press through to get to Jesus. I remember John Osteen years ago, and I told the EOW class this Friday and Saturday, right? There was a sermon he preached in 1997. I've never been the same since. Cannot tell you a scripture he preached. Pastor, are you kidding me? No, but I can tell you the two stories he said. So one story, a woman been going to church all her life. Been trying to get her husband to come, and he won't come. He's been so consumed with alcoholism for so long that he's lost his car and had several DUIs, and he can't even drive anymore, so he's walking everywhere he goes. He walks to work, walks to the clubs on Friday and Saturday night, and then comes home Sunday just in time to go to work on Monday. So John Osteen's telling a story, and he made the comment. He said the church decided to get together to help the lady. And there was an old boy that had a contractor, and he gets a big old track hoe, and one of the places he'd walk from one of the clubs at night was he'd cut across a cemetery. So they get out there and they take his track hole and they dig an 8x8 square hole 10 foot deep. He comes staggering along about 3 or 4 o'clock on a Sunday morning, falls off in the hole. So he's trying to get out. He can't get out. He's crawling, digging, and all he can do to get out of the hole, he can't get out of the hole. Then he hears this voice. Now you got to remember, he's in a cemetery. He hears this voice. You'll never get out of here. He cleared the hole. Gets home at church. Somebody else had already fallen in the hole. They found him the next morning. The name of the sermon was How Bad As You Want To. And the second story he told was his mother. This is Joel Osteen's grandmother. She dipped all her life. So as long as John could remember, Mama always dipped. And says, Dad passed away, and she's in her 60s, early 60s. He passes away, and he comes in on her, check on her from time to time. He walks in on one afternoon. He can't find the spittoon. Been sitting by her chair all her life. And he asked Mama, Mama, where's your spittoon? I hid it in the back bedroom. Why would you do that? So-and-so came over, and he doesn't like a woman that dips. John lights into her. Mama, you kidding me? Daddy tried to get you to quit for years, and you wouldn't quit dipping. This guy goes to showing up, and you're going to hide the spittoon in the back? He gets upset about it. Pops in on her a few months later, right? Can't find the spittoon again. Said, Mama, where's your spittoon? Well, so-and-so asked me to marry him, and he won't marry anybody at dip, so I've quit dipping. John Osteen said, Mama's want to be married was stronger than her want to dip. Pastor, what has that got to do with us? Your want to be healed sometimes should make you press into whatever it takes for you to get your healing. You ought to be decided, you know, set this in your heart that I've heard Jesus and I know he's a healer. He's Christ the healer. He has healed me. I know by the stripes I'm healed. So why am I not walking whole or healed? And then I need to press into the things of Christ Jesus and find out why I am not healed. Because he says, I'm healed. How bad is your want to? Part of it starts with us saying and speaking and believing. So now, look at, hold your spot. Look at Luke chapter 7. Hold your spot because we're going to come back to it. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 7, verse 3. And he says, and when he heard of Jesus, who is this? It's the centurion. This is the man who wants a servant of his healed. This is the man who sends men to Christ Jesus to have him come to his house. This is the man who says, I've heard of Jesus. I know of Jesus. I know what he can do. Pastor, what are you saying to us? Listen, as much as we hear the word of God, as much as we know of Christ Jesus, me and you and everyone in this room ought to be walking around totally, completely healed and whole. And until that happens, I'm not going to be satisfied about the way we press in, because I don't want you to walk out those doors the same way you came in. I want you to have an encounter, a touch from Jesus. I want you to have heard of Jesus, believe in Jesus, speak the word that you want for him to prepare or do for you, and have what it is you're saying with an action or be correspondent to it. I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I have to get to the point where it inspires you to motivate you to do something. Evidently, she heard and he heard so much about Jesus, it motivated them to do something. Pastor, listen to me. When we quit giving it names, we get a name from a doctor or nurse, somebody, they research it on internet, man, they can tell you all kinds of stuff this thing's got or does and all this thing. When we go to giving it a name, to me it's like you're losing the entire root of it. It's like, I've got this, or I have this. You do? Do you want it? Why don't you change your word? Why don't you say something like, I've been diagnosed by the doctors, if you want to say something like that, but I believe in God that I'm healed or whole. Your words are going to have to change. In other words, what I'm saying is most of us accepted the name and we take it on like a trophy. I got this. I got that. I'm still standing. And the whole thing is, it's the devil. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed because he was anointed by the Holy Ghost. In other words, Jesus said everything that's of sickness or disease is from your adversary. Quit giving it a glorified name and just call it what it is. It's an attack from the devil, and you don't want the devil to attack you. I'm thinking to myself, Lord, if our words start speaking spirit and life, our words have spirit and life. If we put Jesus' word, the word of God, in our mouth, and we go to speaking the word of God, and we say what the word says, then it's going to motivate our actions to line up with what our words are saying with the word of God. James says it like this. He says, I'll show you my faith by my action. There comes an essence where you are going to have to believe God and do something about what you believe. You're either going to have to speak it, do it, say it, get to a man of God, get to a church, get to Jesus, get on your knees, do something, cry out, ask God, say the word, do something, believe the word. But you're going to have to do something instead of just taking it and saying it's mine or I have it. Glory to God. So let's go back to Mark chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 5. So I'm still with Jairus. I hadn't left him yet. He's waiting for his daughter to be healed. So the woman in verse 25, it said, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but had rather grew worse. She had heard of Jesus. Came in and pressed behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Faith motivated her words before she started pressing in. She's already speaking the word of what she desires from God. You've got to say what you desire from God. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to ask. He says he knows what you need of before you ask, but he says you must ask. It's like he calls us the house of prayer. There ought to be an essence where the church is constantly talking to him, asking him things, you know, praying to him and biding on him and his grace move through the church because we're a praying church. He said the house of church shall be known as a house of prayer. Every one of us ought to have our own prayer life, individually for ourselves and for other people around us. So she says, once she heard, she went to press. He said, for verse 28, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned to him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now this leads me a lot of things that Jesus said. It's huge right here. There's a press. There's a lot of people. There's only one gets touched and gets healed. There's only one that touches him and gets healed. There are a lot of people bumping into him. There's a lot of people pressing all about him. There's numbers of them, but one gets healed. One taps into the power of Christ Jesus. In other words, Jesus said, I stand ever ready as your healer at all times. If you tap into this healing, you'll be healed. I'll say that one more time. The Lord says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. He said, actually, one of your benefits in Psalms 103 is he says, I have healed you of all your diseases. It's a benefit as a son and daughter of God. Not to mention what he talks about in the New Testament. By his stripes I am healed. Jesus is making very clear to me that I am part of the body of Christ, and there is no sickness and disease in Jesus. He says, many are sick or sleep because they do not discern the body of Christ. If greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, then Christ is in me. He's in my fingers. He's in my feet. He's in my hands. He's in my heart. He's in my mind. Christ is all in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. In other words, when I know that Jesus is greater inside of me, then I move and I act, I speak, and I have faith because Jesus is full of faith. There is no sickness in the body of Jesus. I happen to be a part in that body. I can either say it and believe it or not. Your faith is going to have to motivate you to do something. I'm healed. I'm whole. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. So she touches in, and Jesus doesn't even know, had not particularly sought her out to give her the healing. Her faith tapped into it. Look why he said in verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Every one of you in this room can do that. Every one of you have the ability to say and believe God and get a touch from Jesus and be healed, healthy, and whole and go free of your plague. Every one of you, with your words and your faith. Now watch what happens in verse 36. And as soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Where are we at now, Pastor? We back to the man who was trying to get to his daughter. He get held up for a few minutes, man. He's got this sideshow going on. And what it is, it's an example to the man to believe God. One thing I love about Jesus, when he teaches or ministers, he always demonstrates and trains. He never just says, do it, and then don't train you. Or never says, faith is like this, and look if you can figure it out. He gives you words to tell you how it works. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, believing in his heart, not doubting in his heart, right? That whatsoever he says, he shall have what he says. So in other words, he's telling me this is how faith works. Now he's demonstrating. He shows a woman comes in and gives them a show. Look what happened to her because she had faith. The minute that happens, people walk up to the man who's believing for his daughter and says, your daughter just died. Jesus goes after the words in a hurry. Jesus did not want to hear death
and curse. He went after the words in a hurry. He looked at the man and he says, be not afraid, because he knew the words had power to make you scared. And he's telling me and you, when you tap into faith, you cannot be scared. And he says, be not afraid, but only believe. Believe what? What did he say? Because you're going to get what you say. What did the man say? Look back at verse 23. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. We talk about the woman so much, we miss the man's words in this conversation. The man's got words. He says, Jesus, if you'll just touch her, put your hands on her, she'll live. In the process of trying to get to her, words of death show up. What are you saying, Pastor? How bad you want to? How bad is your want to? This is not the only place Jesus took care of words. There's not the only place Jesus took care of doubt, fear, and unbelief. He removed a whole room one time of everybody but a mother and a father. How bad is your want to? Are you willing to remove people who are speaking doubt, fear, unbelief, and death around you? The ones who are speaking the same things that you're hearing everywhere else? Are you willing to separate yourself from the stuff that you've heard that are countering the Word of God to get you to the place where Jesus is speaking spirit and life, or get you to believers who are going to speak spirit and life, somebody of like faith to help you through this? Or are you going to be afraid and stop your thought life of believing God? See, his thought life's being attacked because his thought life manages his words. And Jesus is telling him, be not afraid to start with. Don't let the thought of being afraid, like it's all over, that she cannot be healed, she cannot live, because your words said, if I touch her, she'll live. Your words are powerful when you're sons and daughters of God. They are life or death. And when you speak a word that lines up with the Word of God about life, life more abundantly, don't back off of it. I don't care what shows up, what circumstances, how bad it sounds, what people say around you, you don't back off the word. Jesus' word is the truth. He sent his word to heal and deliver us. Now watch what Jesus does. After he tells him, don't be afraid, only believe, evidently he did not get scared. Why? His daughter's going to live. Come back to life, be honest. Now watch. Verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh into the house of the rulers of the synagogue, and he seeth the turmoil, and them that wept and wailed greatly. What are you saying, Pastor? There's times to weep, and there's times not to. Huh? Because Christ wept with people before when they wept. This is not one of them. When you're believing God for something, and you're standing out on faith, and your words are matching the Word of God, this is not time to weep or cry or wail. It's time to believe. Because weeping, crying, and wailing are saying, I'm afraid. I'm selfish. I'm sorrowful. I'm disappointed. I'm discontented. I'm sad. I'm discouraged. That's what that says. Jesus removes it. Jesus walks in, and he removes it. And he says, and when he come in, he saith unto them, why you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. Listen to me. Not in this church. Not in this church. We have believers in this church full of faith. But a lot of the body of Christ today, you tell them they're healed by the stripes of Jesus, they'll laugh at you. They don't even believe it. They have no clue that the stripes of Jesus has purchased their ransom for their healing. They have no knowledge of divine healing or have heard of Jesus and that he's a divine healer. A lot of the body of Christ have no idea that their part in the body of Christ is to be healed, healthy, and whole. They have no idea that the breadcrumbs of the children is loaded with healing. They have no idea of it, so they walk around as if he's trying to teach them a lesson. Like they blame God of child abuse and then they put it on God's fault. It's not. It's the devil. My God, my Lord Jesus Christ said in John 10:10 that he comes to give me life, life more abundantly. If it's stealing, killing, or destroying, it's your adversary. If it's one headache that takes away 10 minutes of your day, you lost 10 minutes. Resist it. Believe God that you no longer have a headache. If it's high blood pressure and it causes you to nap, fall asleep, miss out on conversations, can't go to work, do things like that, he's stealing your life from you. Call it what it is. I believe Jesus' words. I believe that he bore my sins on a cross and took them to the cross for me to be made the righteousness of God. If I can believe that, surely I can believe that the stripe on his back purchased my healing. Because to me, if you can believe that I've been made the righteousness of God to be a son and daughter of God, it's a bigger miracle to me to be in eternity with heaven, my name written in the book of life in heaven, than it is to even actually be healed on this earth. Jesus even makes the comment, which is easier for me to say, take up thy bed and walk, or thy sins be forgiven? But that you may know by the same power that forgives you of your sin is the same power you were healed by. In other words, the salvation package of Christ Jesus is complete and whole. He meant all of it when he went to the cross. I'm thinking to myself, Lord, let us see. Our eyes are blessed. Our ears are blessed. Our heart is open and receptive. We're going to have revelation of Christ as our healer. 2014, we're going to walk in the best health we've ever walked in our life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Luke chapter 7. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 7. I'm going to start in verse 2. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation and hath built a synagogue. Jesus went to them, and when he was now far off from the house, the centurion sent friends. First thing he sent, elders of the town. Now he's sending close friends. He sends friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest even enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus heard these things, and he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. And it came to pass the day after, as he went into the city of Nile. Listen, this is what I want to talk to you about. He didn't even hear the words personally of Jesus. I'm going to try that one more time. I don't know how many of you have not heard Jesus personally. But the centurion says, just speak it, and I'll believe it, and it'll happen. Because I'm a man set under authority, and if I say to one, come, he comes, to another one, go, he goes, to another one, do this, and he does it. In other words, he told Jesus, I know you're not here under your own authority. I know the Father in heaven sent you. I know what power and authority you're working in. For I, too, am a man set under authority. What was he speaking? You just say it, and it'll happen. Me and you have 66 books of Jesus saying. We have it recorded. They don't even have a book to record it. They're not running from scripture to scripture to study all day long and get all these things. They just said, say it, Jesus, and it'll happen. He said it for you. Now, do you have the faith to believe what he said is in your life and part of you? Do you believe, or do you have to be personally looking at him in heaven to believe it? It's not till the sweet by and by everything's going to get good. It's while we're on this earth, we rule and reign on this earth. I'm not going to be able to rule and reign sick. I'm not going to be able to rule and reign with the disease. I'm not going to be able to rule and reign without health. I'm not going to be able to minister without health. I believe Jesus is my healer. I believe I'm healed and made whole by Jesus. I'm going to make my 70 to 80, and it's going to be because Jesus numbered my days, not me. Amen. Glory to God. Now I've got a centurion. He's saying words. He's backing them with faith. He's understanding authority. Glory to God. Look at Mark chapter 7. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 15 records the same thing, but I'm going to go to Mark 7 because Mark 7 says it just a little different. Verse 26 said a woman, a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she brought him that would cast forth the devil out of her, besought him that he would cast out the devil of her daughter. And Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread to cast it unto dogs. In other words, if you're a son and daughter of God, you're his child. You already have a covenant. This individual doesn't even have a covenant with him. Christ called her a dog. Can you imagine? It'd be like somebody walking in off the streets, you know, and rough life like an old Andy years ago, right? Old Andy walks in the door in the back, and then looked at him, hey, dog. What are you doing up in here? I'll try that one more time. Watch. They even greet each other like that. What's up, dog? I don't know about you, but I'm already addressing those words. I don't want them speaking dog over me. Why? It's the only animal to return to its own vomit. Eat its own dung. Then lick your face. Man. A dog is a dog. Christ called her a dog. Now watch what Christ said about her, though. For the sake of time, I don't have time to go to Matthew, but go back and look at Matthew chapter 15 when you go to reading and studying this. It's your assignment. Verse 28, and she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying. Matthew says because of her faith, her great faith, which were both true because faith is going to be saying something. Mark records it that she had a saying. What was the saying? Truth, Lord, I am a dog. Truth, Lord, I've been living a horrible life. Truth is, Lord, I believe you're Lord. I believe my life can change. I believe my daughter's life can change. I just want one of the crumbs, just part of you, out from under the table. And Jesus' words to her was, because of your saying. What have you been saying? I've got so many other things and places I want to go, but the Holy Spirit's starting to move, right? 2 Kings chapter 4, it talks about the man of God, Elijah, traveling back and forth in a family and a home, built a house, an extra room for him. Every time he'd come by, he'd stop in on it. And the man of God asked her one day, he says, what can we do for you? What is it God can do for you? And he noticed that she didn't have a child or a son. And he says to her, this time of life next year, you'll have a son. So she gets pregnant, has a son. Son grows up. Years later, he's in the field with his dad. He's working. He has a major headache, falls down and collapses to his dad. His dad picks him up, takes him to mama, sets him at mama's feet and lap. She holds him up to about 1 o'clock that day. He passes away. She puts him on the bed, asks her husband to get her a servant and the fastest, youngest mule she got. And she breaks to the man of God. She gets to the man of God, and the man of God sees her coming from afar off, and he sends his servant to her to find out if she's all right, her husband's all right, the child's all right. Her answer to the servant that showed up was, it is well. Son's laying asleep, permanent sleep, on the bed. But she said, it is well. The man of God gets to her. He hurries the servant along, and he says, put the staff on his mouth and break and go now, because you'll beat us there. So the servant breaks and runs to the house on horseback, mule, camel, whatever it is, but he beats his mother and the man of God to the house, and he lays the staff on him. The man of God gets in, and she speaks it again in the household. All is well. Now, you know the story. He lays out over the top of him, hand to hand, mouth to mouth, eye to eye, and he breathes into him. But her words before he does that is, you promised me you wouldn't deceive me. When you promised me a child, I ask you, don't play with me. And he said, I'm not. Now he's back in the house and he's standing over the child. He says, you told me you would not deceive me, but you promised me a son. That's not going to happen. In other words, her words put the man of God in remembrance what he'd already spoke over the child to start with, and that the child was of God, and that she had been speaking, it's all well. Her words are coding miracle. It's speaking life the whole time. And the man of God realizes it's his obligation because of her words that she's put him in remembrance that the son was a gift from God and that this was not going to happen. He lays down on him, mouth to mouth, eyeball to eyeball. He breathes into him, and he sneezes 7 times. He gets up and he lives. We've got one other one. Just for the sake of time, I'm not going to go there. Got a woman at a well, been married 5 times, living with the old boy. Christ walks up to her, reads her mail, tells her everything. The Word of God says she returns into the city, and the city returns back and says many of them were saved because of her words. And then it moves about 3 or 4 scriptures later, and it says, and the rest of them were saved because of his words. I don't know about you, but ladies, I'm watching a mother have a daughter grievously vexed of a spirit healed. I'm watching a mother who had a son that was dead brought back to life. I'm watching mother or woman speak into a whole city, her words getting a town saved. Don't tell me women don't have power with their words. I've got a centurion who's speaking his words. I'm telling you, our words are powerful, regardless of gender, regardless of who they are. You go to speak in the spirit of life and truth over your family and believe in God, the miracles will show up. That's what I'm believing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday and forever. I believe he's Christ the healer. Have you heard that? Have you really heard that? Do you believe he's your healer? Do you believe the stripes on his back healed you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, here's what I want to say to you. Glory to God. Come on, Pastor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Every one of you here are at different stages of level of faith. Some of you in this room got a new revelation. Your faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Some of you realize, man, I could just say this word, say the same words that Jesus said over my life, and I can be healed. Now listen to me. I don't want you to play, and I don't want you to do something because others are doing it. I want this to be between you and God because I want you healed. If you still don't have the faith to believe, stay put. I'm believing God's going to get you enough faith to get healed, that you will have what it takes to receive your complete healing that he's already manifested for you on the cross years ago. Some of you have had faith now that's increased in some, and you saw something that you've never seen before today. You realize how powerful your words have been wrong. You purpose in your heart today to change your words, that they're going to start speaking spirit and life over your situation. If that's you over your words, just raise your hand where you're at. You just said something wrong. Just, Lord, I see your hands. You can place them down. My second invitation is, you've said in your word that if I could get to the man of God, I could be healed. You've been saying if I could get a touch from Christ Jesus, I could be healed. If that's you, raise your hand. Anybody in here? I see your hands. I see your hands. Glory to God. All right, when we stand to our feet, the first ones I prayed over about our words, I'm going to do a general prayer over us. But the other ones about being touched by a man of God, believing God for the anointing of God and pressing into God and want to be healed, and you believe it's down here at this altar, whether you speak the words, I speak the words, or I touch you, or the anointing does, if that's you, I want you, when you stand to your feet, for you to come down front. Glory to God. Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All those who believe in for complete healing. Now, don't go satisfied with parts of ailment. I want you whole. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For the ones that raised your hand, I'm fixing to pray with you. Glory to God. What you're saying is you're going to correct your words. We're going to put the scripture on this, right? Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word was sent to heal and deliver us, Father. Your word says in Psalms 19:14 that the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and deliverer. The word says, Father, that you can set a guard upon my mouth. So, Father, I ask, I give you permission, I desire, I want you to put a guard on my mouth, Father. I want you to correct me and show me where I've spoken words of curse and death, and I want my words to line up with yours. I want to speak spirit and life. I want to have what you have for my life, and I want my words to line up with your words in the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.